good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System provided by Kilo Bravo 8, Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found on our website, www.scarsvoip.com. My name is Kathleen. My call is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I'm merely opening the program this evening. You have quite a few net controls that will be sharing information with you, and I hope that you enjoy. My location is Port St. Lucie, Florida, where the current temperature of 84 degrees, high today, I believe, of 88, same for tomorrow. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, come aboard. All right, hearing no emergency traffic, I always say that's a great thing. But how about any birthday stations? Celebrating maybe a birthday, an anniversary, something special this week, last week, or this upcoming week. If you are one of those, come aboard. All right, hearing no birthday stations, no one celebrating anniversaries or anything special, we'll actually move on. This is the monthly Thursday Informational Net Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. The program this evening is about IP version 6, I think, Internet Addressing, and I may be wrong on that title. But soon you'll find out about it all. But let me advise all stations that this will be recorded and posted on our website. So if you've been part of this session tonight, you most definitely will be part of the recording. So without any further ado from me, I want to turn it over to KY6V, Gordon, as he begins the program. And hopefully everyone will enjoy. And like I said, ask questions. KY6V, are you ready?
I am. Thanks, Kathy. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Gordon, KY6V here. Let it be said that when it came to happen, instead of nothing happening, the world exploded. Our subject tonight is exploring IP version 6, which came to pass when our founding fathers realized that the Internet that they had originally created had grown much more than they had originally had anticipated. When they started to realize this, they were running out of IP version 4 numbers, so they gave birth to a new addressing system called IP version 6. So tonight, as this starts to unwind around the world, we will be looking at what this new protocol offers over and above the old IP version 4, what is new and fascinating about it, and most important, how to understand how it works and how to convert the 128-bit hexadecimal numbering string back into something that makes sense to you and me. So without further ado, let's start with this presentation with David, GW8SZL over in Wales. Dave, are you ready, sir, from KY6V?
Yes, this is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. Dave over here in Newport in South Wales in the UK. And yes, Gordon, I am more than ready for the introduction as well. But before I start, there's going to be numerous references to our graphics information page throughout the presentation this evening. And for those of you who don't know where that is, it's over on our website at scarsvoip.com. That is Sierra Charlie, Alpha Romeo Sierra, Victor Oscar India Papa.com. Just pop over there, and under the TIN to July 2021, you will see suggested reference material. There's four there, IPv6 for beginners, IPv4 to IPv6, info from Microsoft, and graphics information with a nice little click here button to actually see the actual graphics information page. Go there, and you will see all the nice illustrations that go with tonight's presentation. Please stand by. Okay, good evening, everyone, and what a fascinating subject to be discussing this evening. Let me try to start from the beginning and start to bring us where we are today. Now, Internet Protocol version 6, IPv6, is the most recent version of the Internet Protocol, also known as IP, the communications protocol that provides an identification and location systems from computers on networks and routes traffic across the Internet. IPv version 6 was developed by the Internet Engineering Task Force, the IETF, to deal with the long-anticipated problem of IPv4 address exhaustion. IPv6 is intended to replace IPv4. In December 1998, IPv6 became a draft standard for the IETF, who subsequently ratified it as an Internet standard on the 14th of July 2017. Devices on the Internet are assigned a unique IP address for identification and location definition. With the rapid growth of the Internet after commercialization in the 1990s, it became evident that far more addresses would be needed to connect devices than the IPv4 address space had available. Now, by 1998, the IETF had formalized the successor protocol. IPv6 uses a 128-bit address, theoretically allowing 2 to the power of 128, or approximately 3.4 times 10 to the 38 addresses. The actual number is slightly smaller, as multiple ranges are reserved for special use or completely excluded from use. The two protocols are not designed to be interoperable, and thus direct communications between them is impossible, complicating the move to IPv6. However, several transition mechanisms have been devised to rectify this. Let me reset. IPv6 provides other technical benefits in addition to a larger addressing space. In particular, it permits hierarchical address allocation methods to facilitate route aggregation across the Internet, and thus limit the expansion of routing tables. The use of multicast addressing is expanded and simplified, and provides additional optimization for the delivery of services. Device mobility, security, and configuration aspects have been considered in the design of the protocol. Now, IPv6 addresses are represented as 8 groups, separated by colons of 4 hexadecimal digits. Now, the full representation may be shorted. Now, as mentioned earlier, you can refer to our graphics information page, Figure 1. It reads, for example, here we go, 2001 colon 0 delta bravo 8 colon 0000 colon 0000 colon 0000 colon 8 alpha 2 echo colon 0370 colon 7334. And this becomes 2001 colon delta bravo 8 colon colon 8 alpha 2 echo colon 370 colon 7334. Let me reset. Okay, IPv6 is an Internet layer protocol for packet-switched internetworking and provides end-to-end datagram transmissions across multiple IP networks, closely adhering to the design principles developed in the previous version of the protocol. That was Internet Protocol Version 4, also known as IPv4. Now, in addition to offering more addresses, IPv6 also implements features not present in IPv4. It simplifies aspects of address configuration, network renumbering, and router announcements when changing network connectivity. It simplifies processing of packets in routers by placing the responsibility for packet fragmentation into the endpoints. The IPv6 subnet size is standardized by fixing the size of the host identifier portion of an address to 64 bits. The addressing architecture of IPv6 is defined in RFC 4291 and allows three different types of transmission: unicast, anycast, and multicast. Now, on the internet, data is transmitted in the form of network packets. IPv6 specifies a new packet format designed to minimize packet header processing by routers. Because the headers of IPv4 packets and IPv6 packets are significantly different, the two protocols are not interoperable. However, most transport and application layer protocols need little or no change to operate over IPv6. Exceptions are application protocols that embed internet layer addresses, such as File Transfer Protocol, also known as FTP, and Network Time Protocol, and that's known as NTP, where the new address format may cause conflicts with existing protocol syntax. Now, the main advantage of IPv6 over IPv4 is its larger address space. The size of an IP address, IPv6 address, is 128 bits, compared to 32 bits in IPv4. The address space, therefore, has 2 to the 128, and that equals, that's a big long number, 340,282,366,920,938,463,463,374. Anyway, you get the idea. Addresses. It's approximately 3.4 times 10 to the 38, so you can work that one out yourself. Now, some blocks of this space and some specific addresses are reserved for special uses. Let me reset. While this address space is very large, it was not the intent of the designers of IPv6 to assure geographical saturation with usable addresses. Rather, the longer addresses simplify allocation of addresses, enable efficient route aggregation, and allow implementation of special addressing features. In IPv4, complex classless into-the-main routing, CIDR, methods were developed to make the best use of the small address space. The standard size of a subnet in IPv6 is 2 to the 64 addresses, about 4 billion times the size of the entire IPv4 address space. Thus, actual address space utilization will be small in IPv6, but network management and routing efficiency are improved by the large subnet space and hierarchical route aggregation. Now, with all that said, allow me to turn this over to Roger W4RFJ to continue this discussion. But before I do we have any check-ins or comments from those in attendance? If so, please call now. This is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. Okay, do we have any check-ins at this moment in time for the Thursday TIN? This is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima.
VK2HQ, morning, Dave. Well, I've got a million questions, but actually, our M17 runs on IPv6 as well. Anyway, good morning from down under to all.
Yeah, okay there, John. Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. Yeah, I'm sure you'll send them to me all on Skype anyway. Okay, and then no further check-ins at this time. I'm going to pass it over to the Chief, who might be in Ridley Park, Pennsylvania. He could be somewhere else because he's been doing a lot of mobiling around. Over to you, Chief. W4RFJ, this is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima.
Well, thank you, oh petrified one.
GW8SZL from Whiskey 4 Romeo Fox Juliet and the July Thursday Information Net. Good evening, everybody. I'm going to carry on with multicasting. Multicasting is the transmission of a packet to multiple destinations in a single send operation. It's part of the base specification of IPv6. In IPv4, this is an optional, although commonly implemented feature, but IPv6 multicast addressing has features and protocols in common with IPv4 multicast, but also provides changes and improvements by eliminating the need for certain protocols. Let me grab a nickel real quick. IPv6 does not implement traditional IP broadcast. Sorry, I had to sneeze. The transmission of a packet to all hosts on the attached link using a special broadcast address and therefore does not define broadcast addresses. In IPv6, the same result is achieved by sending a packet to the link local all nodes multicast group at address Foxtrot02:1, which is analogous to the IPv4 multicasting to address 224.0.0.1. IPv6 also provides for new multicast implementations, including embedding rendezvous point addresses on an IPv6 multicast group address, which simplifies the deployment of interdomain solutions. In IPv4, it is very difficult for an organization to get even one globally routable multicast group assignment, and the implementation of interdomain solutions is arcane. Unicast address assignments by a local internet registry for IPv6 have at least a 64-bit routing prefix, yielding the smallest subnet size available in IPv6, also 64 bits. With such an assignment, it is possible to embed the unicast address prefix into the IPv6 multicast address format while still providing a 32-bit block. The least significant bits of the address are approximately 4.2 billion multicast group identifiers, thus user of an IPv6 subnet automatically has available a set of globally routable source-specific multicast groups for multicast applications. Let me grab a nickel. So, moving on from multicasting, stateless address auto configuration, or SLAAC, IPv6 hosts have the ability to configure themselves automatically. Every interface has a self-generated link local address, and when connected to a network, conflict resolution is performed and routers provide network prefixes via router advertisements. And stateless configuration of routers can be achieved with the special router renumbering protocol. When necessary, hosts may configure additional stateful addresses via the Dynamic Host Configuration Protocol version 6, or DHCPv6, or static addresses manually. Reset. Like IPv4, IPv6 supports globally unique IP addresses. The design of IPv6 intended to reemphasize the end-to-end principle of network design that was originally conceived during the establishment of the early internet by rendering network address translation obsolete. Therefore, every device on the network is globally addressable direct from any other device. A stable, unique, globally addressable IP address would facilitate tracking a device across networks. Therefore, such addresses are a particular privacy concern for mobile devices, such as laptops and cell phones. To address these privacy concerns, the SLAAC protocol includes what are typically called privacy addresses, or more correctly, temporary addresses codified by RFC 4941, which is the privacy extensions for stateless address auto configuration in IPv6.
Temporary addresses are random and unstable. A typical consumer device generates a new temporary address daily and will ignore traffic addressed to an old address after 1 week. Temporary addresses are used by default in Windows since XP Service Pack 1, Mac OS, OS X 10.7, and Android since 4.0. Oh, and iOS since 4.3. Use of temporary addresses by Linux distributions vary. Renumbering an existing network for a new connectivity provider with different routing prefixes is a major effort with IPv4. With IPv6, however, changing the prefix announced by a few routers can in principle renumber an entire network. Since the host identifier is the least significant 64 bits of an address, can be independently self-configured by a host. The SLAAC address generation method is an implementation-dependent IETF recommends that addresses are deterministic but semantically opaque. There's an issue, another thing that I think we'll be talking about more, and that deals with mobility. Unlike mobile IPv4, mobile IPv6 avoids triangular routing and is therefore as efficient as native IPv6. IPv6 routers may also allow entire subnets to move to a new router connection point without renumbering. That's, I believe, part of mobile IP protocols within IPv6. Okay, so that's it for my...
Yeah, you timed out, Raj. I assume that you're switching it over to George. Over.
Yeah, I did time out. I was trying not to do that. Did you get all the mobile IP stuff I was talking about with the mobility thing? And I asked for check-ins or questions. Over.
Yeah, we got all the mobile. We did not get your request for check-ins. Over.
Okay, well, let's try that again. Anybody want to check in or ask a question, please come now. This is W4RFJ with the TIN. All right, I guess it goes over to the Sheriff of Nottingham. N070, go ahead. It's your turn, sir. This is W4RFJ. I'm standing down and at parade rest. Go ahead, George, W4RFJ in the group with the TIN.
Well, W4RFJ and the South Guards TIN for July of 2021. N070, this is the honorary sheriff of Nottingham in my squirrel costume. This is N070. Yeah, and I'll go ahead. This is my ad-libbing here for the moment anyway. I will say that my soft cards number is Echo 23042 just to fill it in a little bit. So want to wish everyone to a good evening. And I know that Chief did call for check-ins or rechecks. And I also had a question for Chief before proceeding. So let me take the more hospitable route, and even though Chief did ask for check-ins, let me check one more time before I move on and see if there is anyone who would like to say hello or has any questions before I ask my question to Chief. This is NO70. Go ahead with any check-ins or rechecks, please. Over.
Yeah, VK2DY, just saying good morning. Robert in Sydney.
Well, good morning to Cindy, Robert, VK2GY. Good to hear you out there to join us this evening. Thank you so much, NO70. And I hope that things are going well. I saw some interesting news stories lately. Hope that you're okay and fine. All right, let me ask my question then of Chief. When discussing all of the addressing earlier and the colon that was in the IPv6. Chief, W4FJ and O70, would it be fair then to say that if you see a colon, that you would assume that it would be all zeros between those two colons if you were to write out that entire address? W4FJ and O70, over.
Sorry for the delay. I was backing up to that actual number. Yes. We're dealing with hexadecimal numbers, and in the example FF02, each character is four bits. So you can actually count from 0 to F with 4 bits. So that means the first 16 bits is shown as a 4-digit number, FF02, which in binary would be 1111, 1111, 0000, 0010. And then the colon and the colon, and then the last octet, not octet, but the last number one would be 0000000000001. Everything in between those 16 bits will be zero because of the double colon. Okay, I've said my piece. Hope I answered your question. W4RFJ.
W4RFJ on the South Card TIN, N070. Well, indeed you did, Chief. Thank you very much for clarifying that. All right, and also I did see a request in the text box to leave some gaps, please, during transmissions, so I may be dragging my feet a little bit to make sure that the circuits reset during this time. All right, let me reset, and we shall go on. This is NO7Os. All right, so continuing on with the South Card's TIN on Internet Addressing and IPv6 and comparison IPv4. An IPv6 packet has two parts to it, a header and a payload. Now, the header consists of a fixed portion with minimal functionality required for all packets and may be followed by optional extensions that are then used to implement special features. The fixed header occupies the first 40 octets. So that would, octets would be 8. So 8 times 40 would be 320. So the first header occupies the first 320 bits of the IPv6 packet. It contains the source and destination addresses, traffic class, hop count, and the type of the optional extension or payload which follows the header. This next header field tells the receiver how to interpret the data which follows that header. If the packet contains options, this field contains the option type of the next option. The next header field of the last option points to the upper layer protocol that is then carried in the packet's payload. Resetting. So yes, we kind of just described a tail-to-head chain in a way. The current use of the IPv6 traffic class field divides this between a 6-bit differentiated services code point and a 2-bit explicit congestion notification field. Extension headers carry options that are used for special treatment of a packet in the network, that is, for routing, fragmentation, and for security using the IPSec framework, IPSEC framework. Without these special options, a payload must be less than 64 kilobytes. With a jumbo payload option and a hop-by-hop options extension header, we just discussed extension headers, with a jumbo payload option and a hop-by-hop options extension header, the payload must be less than 4 gigabytes compared to the 64 kilobytes. Resetting. Now, unlike with IPv4, routers never fragment a packet in IPv6. Hosts are expected to use PathMTU discovery to make their packets small enough to reach the destination without needing to be fragmented. So please see our graphics information sheet, figure number 2, on our website for the detailed format. An Internet Protocol version 6 address is a numeric label that is used to identify and locate a network interface of a computer or a network node participating in a computer network using IPv6. IP addresses are included in the packet header to indicate the source and the destination of each packet. The IP address of the destination is used to make decisions about routing IP packets to other networks. Resetting. Now, IPv6 is the successor to the first addressing infrastructure of the Internet Protocol version 4. In contrast to IPv4, which defined an IP address as a 32-bit value, IPv6 addresses have a size of 128 bits. That's 128 compared to 32. Therefore, in comparison, IPv6 has a vastly enlarged address space. Please see our graphics information figure number 3 on the website, and that will, with the zeros and ones on that illustration, dynamically illustrate the larger size of the IPv6 addresses. Resetting. All right, now that we have covered the basics of writing it, let's look at the addressing methods used by IPv6. Now, IPv6 addresses are classified by the primary addressing and routing methodologies that are common in networking. Those are unicast addressing, anycast addressing, and multicast addressing. Now, as similar as those pronunciations are to each other, I'm going to repeat those three types of methodologies. First is unicast addressing, second is anycast addressing, and third is multicast addressing. Let's look at each one of those. Resetting. A unicast address identifies a single network interface. The Internet Protocol delivers packets sent to a unicast address to that specific interface. An anycast address is assigned to a group of interfaces, usually belonging to different nodes. A packet sent to an anycast address is delivered to just one of the member interfaces, typically the nearest host, according to the routing protocol's definition of distance. Anycast addresses cannot be identified easily. They have the same format as unicast addresses and differ only by their presence in the network at multiple points. Almost any unicast address can be employed as an anycast address. And I'm going to continue on to describe multicast addresses in just a moment. You are listening to the SouthCars July 2021 Thirsty Information Net, where we are looking at the topic of Internet Protocol Addressing, IPv6 and IPv4. Resetting. Now, we just defined unicast addresses and anycast addresses. Let's now define multicast addresses. A multicast address is also used by multiple hosts that acquire the multicast address destination by participating in the multicast distribution protocol among the network routers. A packet that is sent to a multicast address is delivered to all interfaces that have joined the corresponding multicast group. Again, multicast is the same being sent to multiple destinations. IPv6 does not implement broadcast addressing like you have in IPv4. Broadcast's traditional role is subsumed by multicast addressing to the all nodes link, which is local multicast group FF02:1. And remember, you can put in four zeros in between those colons. Now, however, the use of the all nodes group is not recommended, and most IPv6 protocols use a dedicated link, local multicast group, to avoid disturbing every interface in the network. Let me pause to reset. And we're now going to take a look at general allocation of addresses. This is SouthCars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Services Thursday Information Net. The management of IPv6 address allocation process is delegated to the Internet Assigned Numbers Authority, or IANA, and it is delegated by the Internet Architecture Board and the Internet Engineering Steering Group. Its main function of the IANA is the assignment of large address blocks to the regional internet registries, abbreviated RIRs, Romeo India Romeo, and these large address blocks have the delegated task of allocation to network service providers and other local registries. The IANA has maintained the official list of allocations of the IPv6 address space since December of 1995. Now, only 1/8 of the total address space is currently allocated for use on the Internet, 2000:3, in order to provide efficient route aggregation, thereby reducing the size of the Internet routing tables. And the rest of the IPv6 address space is reserved for future use or for special purposes. The address space is assigned to the RIRs in large blocks of /23 up to /12. Resetting. The RIRs assign smaller blocks to local Internet registries that distributes them to users. These are typically in sizes from /19 to /32. The addresses are typically distributed in /48 to /56 size blocks to the end users. Now, global unicast assignment records can be found at the various IRRs, RIRs, or other websites. IPv6 addresses are assigned to organizations in much larger blocks as compared to IPv4 address assignments. The recommended allocation is a /48 block, which contains 2 to the 80th addresses, being 2 to the 48th or about 2.8 times 10 to the 14th times larger than the entire IPv4 address space of 2 to the 32 addresses and about 7.2 times 10 to the 16th times larger than the /8 blocks of IPv4 addresses, which are the largest allocations of IPv4 addresses. Now, that was a lot of numbers. Let me reset and I'll go over that. Now, we're using scientific notation with that. If you'll notice 2 to the 80th or 2 to the 48th that when you say 2 some number, that a superscript number in scientific notation, that most of the time pretty well tells you how many zeros are going to follow that number. So when you have 2 times 2 to the 80th, you're looking at a lot of zeros. Try writing that down on a piece of graph paper. You'd have to turn the graph paper sideways and may not even have room then. All right, the total pool, however, of all these addresses is sufficient for the foreseeable future because there are 2 to the 128th, exactly 340, 282, 362, 390, 438, 463, 474, 674, 607, 431, 768, 211, 456, or about, this will make more sense, 340 trillion unique IPv6 addresses. Resetting. Now, I was not stuttering with that. I was saying 340 trillion unique IPv6 addresses. I think that's a large number. Now, each RIR can divide each of its multiple /23 blocks into 512/32 blocks, typically one for each ISP, and an ISP can divide its /32 block into 65,536/48 blocks, typically one for each customer. And you might recognize the similarity of 65,536 to some of the computer architecture addresses inside the computer itself when you look at the number of bits and bytes. Now, customers can create 65,536/64 networks from their assigned /48 block, each of those having 2 to the 64th addresses. I won't try to repeat that large number. In contrast, the entire IPv4 address space has only 2 to the 32nd addresses compared to the 2 to the 64th addresses, a significant larger number. Let me reset. All right, so by design then, only a very small fraction of the address space will actually be used. The large address space ensures that addresses are almost always available, which makes the use of network address translation for the purposes of address conservation completely unnecessary. NAT has been increasingly used for IPv4 networks to help alleviate the exhaustion of IPv4 addresses. You also may recognize now why the Internet of Things, meaning your refrigerator, your dryer, the reordering utilities or software in these special more modern devices, do use up addresses, and why IPv6 helps with the Internet of Things or IoT. Resetting. All right, so we have discussed three allocations. Let's look at special allocations. To allow for provider changes without renumbering, provider-independent address space assigned directly to the end user by the regional Internet registries, or RIRs, is taken from the special range of 2001:678:29. Internet Exchange Points, IXPs, are assigned special addresses from the range 2001:7F8:29 for communication with their connected ISPs. Root name servers have been assigned addresses from the same range. Let me reset. All right, let's look at a special type of Anycast addresses. Those are the reserved Anycast addresses. You're listening to the South Cars Thursday Information Net for July 2021, dealing with Internet Protocol addressing IPv6 and IPv4. The lowest address within each subnet prefix is set to all zeros and is reserved as the subnet router Anycast address. Applications may use this address when talking to any one of the available routers, as packets sent to this address are delivered to just one router. The 128 highest addresses within each /64 subnet prefix are reserved to be used as Anycast addresses. These addresses usually have the first 57 bits of the interface identifier set to 1, followed by the 7-bit Anycast ID. Resetting. Now, prefixes for the network, including subnets, are required to have a length of 64 bits, in which case the universal or local bit must be set to the value of 0 to indicate the address is not globally unique. The address with value 0x7e in the 7 least significant bits is defined as a mobile IPv6 home agent's Anycast address. The address with value 0x7elf, or all bits set to 1, is reserved and may not be used. No more assignments from this range are made, so values 0x00 through 0x7d are reserved as well. I will leave it for you as a homework assignment to go in and try writing out these addresses with some of these constraints here, because if you are familiar with IPv4, it's second nature for you, but it may be prudent for you to become very comfortable with IPv6 writing out and the values itself. So that is my section regarding IPv6 addressing and other types of IPv4 to IPv6 comparisons. With that, let me open it up for any further check-ins or questions on the SouthCars TIN on Internet Protocol addressing. If you'd like to check in or say hello, please call now. This is NO70. Over.
6, Victor.
Well, I heard a key up with no audio. That recognizes 6 Victor, KY6V, our leader, and down in Florida. I understand that the storm didn't come close enough to part his hair the other way, but no matter which way his hair is parted, we love him too as well. KY6V, hey Gordon, how are you doing tonight? KY6V on the SouthCars TIN. NO70, go ahead, please.
Okay, well, thank you, George. Yeah, all of us around this neighborhood are saying, what storm? It didn't have any impact on us at all. Of course, it was on the other side of the state, et cetera, et cetera, and it was at a tropical storm level as opposed to a higher hurricane level. So, it was a walk in the park for us. George, I just wanted to throw in a couple of thoughts here. For those that are listening, you know, this is a heavy subject, as you probably have already decided tonight. There's a lot to understand and know. If you really have a need to understand and know. But I will say that on an average, the average computer user is going to be able to function fairly normally, because built into your computers, particularly the later ones here in the last number of years, both IP4, IP version 4 and IP version 6 are registered in your home computer. And it has its own built-in tunnel system to work between the two. So a lot of your knowledge does not need to be focused on the day-to-day stuff, because I think it's going to happen automatically. Let me buy a nickel here for a second. And David up there in Wisconsin is going to cover that point that I just mentioned here as he winds up this evening. The other one that I wanted to mention, George, it's my understanding. You talk about, you know, getting some practice. Write these IP version 6 numbers out and play with them. Try to decode them, etc. The colon for the zero, reducing the zeros down and making your overall address shorter. If you put two colons together, which is permissible, you're fine, but it's my understanding that you can't use double colons a second time in an address. Now, I'm not sure why yet, but that's what I understand. So you don't want to go down the line and then put another couple of colons in, because I don't think it's going to work. KY6V, go ahead, George.
KY6V on the SouthCars TIN, NO70. Well, Gordon, that's a good point, and I'm looking back here because I think I've seen that done where two colons were repeated in an address, but it may well have been an error by the author at the time that I read that. That's a good point. Thank you, Gordon. I just learned something as well, which is what it's all about with the TIN. So thank you for setting me straight on that one. That's very, very interesting. Okay. Let me, since I heard just a carrier only but no audio, let me ask if there was someone else trying to check in or say hello or had any questions or comments on the material I covered. This is the time to ask before I turn it over to today's KB9EWG in a moment. So if you have, would like to check in or have any questions before we move on, please call now. This is NO70. Over.
I could ask a question. Echo Whiskey Golf.
Thank you, Dave, for your question. Net recognizes KB9EWG with a question before we turn the program over to him as a presenter. So please go ahead with your question, KB9EWG, NO70. Over.
Well, first of all, good evening, George. I hope you and Rocket Squirrel and Wrestler Critters are doing well. You know, I find it interesting that they jumped from IPv4 to IPv6. Is there or was there ever an IPv5 in KB9EWG?
KB9EWG on the South Coast TIN, NO70. Well, that's a good question, Dave. Now, what I have heard is the fact that there really can't be an IPv5 because if you look at the nature of addressing and bits and bytes and so forth, then you know it's based on the byte of computer having either a 0 or 1 for on or off, and that is an even number of digits, so if you start trying to force an odd number of digits into the even. Now, I'm saying this, you know, in a very broad brush where, I may be mistaken on this, but I would think that there would be some addressing or extremely difficult implementation issues involved with IPv5, with that being an odd number compared to V4 or V6. However, I am more than happy to defer to anyone who may be more in step with that information. So let me ask if anyone else on the net would like to check in and have a comment about your question, Dave. So anyone on the net that would fill in more information for Dave's question about IPv5, please call now. This is NO70. Over.
6, Victor.
Thank you, Gordon. I sure am glad you're always there to pull me out of the forest. KY6V, NO70. Over.
Well, I don't think on this one I'm going to pull people out too far. David, good evening, sir. I read through just buckets and barrels of write-up literature on IP version 6 here, getting ready for the presentation of the night. And I will say that somewhere in that, and if I had to go back and find it, I wouldn't know where to look. I recall reading that there was an IP version 5 at one point, which was a base trial, ongoing design phase in trying to reach a plateau that they could release to the public. And as they got further into this, they finally decided that they had enough stuff here, they were going to make it IP version 6. Now, don't quote me, but I think that's what I read, David. And I'll send it to you. You can send it back to George. KY6V, over.
Okay, that was enlightening, Gary. You know, and yeah, I know that the both things are, you know, as George indicated, the even numbers there. But I'm sure somebody else would have been wondering about that, so I figured the question should have been asked there, so I did so. But thank you, Gordon. Sounds great. Back to you, George, to pick it up, and then you can probably pass it back to me, KB9WG.
KB9WG, KY6Z, and the rest of the South Cars TIN this evening on IP addressing in 070. And I'd like to recognize the contributions in the text box where, as we discussed the IPv4 versus IPv6, stations VK3HJQ and W4RFJ were rather prompt, shall I say, in putting down even numbers 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, or even numbers all the way. I think they were trying to tell us something. So especially when you may be looking at octets and so forth. So there are some comments in the text box that I think also go to this question as well. But Dave, I understand you're asking the question to get us to think, and that's a good thing as well, too. Before I turn it over to Dave, then let me ask if there are any other comments about the nature of addresses special allocations, general allocations, and the different types of addressing like unicast and multicast. Any other comments or contributions, or even just check-ins to say hello? Please call before now, before I pass it on to Dave. This is N070, over. All right, very good. Hearing no additional check-ins or comments, I think that has cleared the desk for here, and it is time to turn it over to Dave, KB9EWG, on the South Cars TAN for July 2021, and IPv6 versus IPv4. We mentioned Internet of Things, and we've talked about assignments. Dave, maybe you can tie it all together for us with a nice pretty ribbon on it. KB9EWG in 070. Over.
Well, thank you, Sheriff. Thank you, George. Good evening to you, and good evening to everybody else. KB9EWG, Echo 2289. And, my task on this program is to try to highlight the important facts that have been presented tonight and make sure that we all have a general understanding as to how this addressing system works. Excuse me. At this point, let me list the items this evening that should be in your thinking when using IPv6. One, IPv6 has been deployed to replace IPv4, which is running out of addresses. Two, all modern computers and mobile phones support both IPv4 and IPv6. And if you look at your device IP address, you will probably see both. Three, an IPv6 address uses 128 bits as opposed to 32 bits in IPv4. Stand by. Four, because a hexadecimal number uses 4 bits, this means that an IPv6 address consists of 32 hexadecimal numbers. Five, these numbers are grouped in fours, giving 8 groups or blocks. The groups are written with a colon as a separator. So on the six, group 1, colon group 2, colon group 3, etc., up to group 8. If you look in figure 4 on our graphics information, here is a IPv6 address example. And there's many characters there, so I don't think I'm going to read them all. But as mentioned, the double colon can be shortened to as a character 4 zeros there. So, stand by. Okay, so note.
No, because it's because the length of the IPv6 addresses, various shortening techniques are employed. The main technique being to omit repetitive zeros, as shown in the example above. 8 in an IPv6, we do the same. The first step is to split the address into two parts. The address is split into two 64-bit segments. The top 64 bits is the network part, and the address is split into, in the lower part, lower 64 bits of the node part. Please refer to figure 5 in our graphics for information on our information sheet for the IP 128 bits there, showing that the network is the top 64 bits and the node is the lower 64 bits. IPv6 address, network, and node. Let me reset here. And I'm also trying to take it slow for things to reset and everything else here. So the upper 64 bits are used for routing. The lower 64 bits identify the address of the interface or node and is derived from the actual physical or MAC address using IEEEC, IEEE's are extended unique identifier. It's EUI64 format. Let me reset the timer here. 9, if we look at the upper 64 bits in more detail, we can see that it is split into two blocks of 48 and 16 bits respectively. Lower 16 bits are used for subnets on an internal network and are controlled by a network administrator. Looking at some diagram here. Okay, the upper 48 bits are used for global network addresses and are for routing over the internet. Please refer to figure number six on our graphics for this information here. 10 IPv6 addresses have three parts. A global unicast address, scope internet routed on the internet. A unique local scope internal network or VPN internally routable but not routed on the internet. And a link local scope network link not routed internally or externally. Let me reset here. At this juncture, ladies and gentlemen, we have probably filled each of our think tanks. So just a couple of quick remarks before we end. For the average computer user, this system will be handled automatically within your machine. But there are some instances that will happen that you should be prepared for. First, remember that IPv6 system is completely independent to that of the IPv4 system. That means that they will not talk to each other unless you have certain parameters in place to do so. These provisions are called tunnels, which we can talk about at another time. Before closing, I'm going to look for any last check-ins or comments at this time. This is CaveNet EWJ. Okay, hearing no other comments or check-ins, that'll wrap up tonight. Thanks for coming. This has been SCARS VOIP. That schedules and different information may be found on our SCARS VOIP website. That's SCARSVOIP.com. Lots of information there. Go check it out, especially the diagrams we've been talking about. This is K.EWG closing this evening program and returning all systems back to normal use. 7-3 and good evening all. This is K.EWG, now clear.